I'm Duarte Geraldino on WNYC, filling in for Brian Lehrer this morning. Now, you see those backpacks on the subway, right? And those yellow buses on the streets? Students are back in school, and the clock is already ticking for parents hoping their child gets a spot in one of New York's 8 specialized high schools. Now, to get went into one of these highly competitive public schools like Brooklyn Tech, Queens High School for Sciences at York College, and Bronx Science, students need to take a test. A lot of people think that test is unfair because so few Black and Latino students are getting into these schools. Now, in June, Mayor Bill de Blasio proposed changing that singular exam that determines admission in order to boost the number of Black and Latino students at the city's 8 specialized high schools. Now, his idea was to scrap the big test and admit students instead based on their class rank and scores on state standardized tests. Parents and alumni groups got very angry about the mayor's proposal. Asian Americans were particularly heated about it because for this group of New Yorkers, the test has been a surefire ticket to a better future for first-generation children. Now, despite the backlash, the mayor's new school's chancellor, Richard Carranza, has not backed down on the idea to change the test. In fact, over the weekend, he defended and promoted his stance in a fiery speech at Al Sharpton's National Action Network in Harlem.
70% of the students in the New York City public schools are Black or Latino, and only 10%, less than 10% of the recent admissions to the specialized schools are Black or Latino. So my friends, there's a question to be asked. Either Black and Latino students cannot, because of biology, genealogy, physically be successful in school, or perhaps the school and the policies and the regulations need to change.
But despite what the school chancellor wants, the state legislature has to first approve the mayor's proposal in order for the admissions policy to change. Now, you think that's going to happen, or will reform take a different form? That's the big question for today. Now, Medina Touré is an education and political reporter for Political New York. Clara Hemphill is the founder and editor of InsideSchools.org. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Clara, let's start with you. What exactly does Mayor Bill de Blasio want to see happen here?
I can't see inside his mind, but it seems like he wants to blame Albany for problems as if it's outside of his control. 95% of the high schools are completely under his control. He can change admissions any way he wants. 5% are controlled by Albany. That is going to be a real uphill battle. Whatever you think of the test, and I'm not a big fan of the test, it's going to be a big uphill battle to change it.
So obviously the state has to get involved to change that test, but this really speaks to a deeper issue all across New York City. Is that right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of the opponents of this plan, like Asian American advocates, alumni associations, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, specialized high schools, not everybody goes to those schools. There are deeper problems within the city's public school system. A lot of people have turned their attention to academic screening in public schools. There's a plan in District 15 in Brooklyn, a middle school diversity plan that Chancellor Carranza is expected to approve. And one of the recommendations as part of that plan is to eliminate screening in schools. So I think that's also something that's coming up. People are saying, well, why focus on the specialized high schools, which are a small percentage of the city's public school students, when there are deeper problems?
It seems like the chancellor is on this publicity tour right now to sort of boost this image that change needs to happen. Is it effective?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have pointed to how blunt and kind of directly Chancellor Carranza has been speaking about segregation in the city's public schools compared to the mayor, who's been a little bit more cautious. You know, he's been speaking out against high-stakes testing. He even kind of you know, upset certain communities when he said that he doesn't buy into the narrative that any one ethnic group owns admissions at the schools. But I think, you know, after, you know, when you're new and you make these bold statements, people are impressed. But I think people want to know when we'll see a citywide integration plan, and people are going to be expecting policy. And I know that in December, the school diversity working group is supposed to be coming out with some recommendations. So I think people want to start seeing some more concrete policy.
if you are listening right now, we want to hear from you. Are you a parent of a middle schooler who is trying to get into a specialized high school? Are you an alum of one of these eight schools? What do you think of the mayor's proposal and the school chancellor's large goal of increasing the number of Black and Latino students at the city's best public schools? Now, you can ask our guest a question. Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So, Clara, do you believe that in this particular situation that the chancellor is on the same page as the mayor, or do you think he is going a little bit too far?
That's a good question. I don't have the answer. He's certainly been more forceful in talking about school integration than the mayor has.
And what about getting into one of these schools? So, in all disclosure, I'm a graduate of one of these specialized high schools. It was a very good experience. Long time ago, it was much more diverse when I was a student at Brooklyn Tech. What kind of barriers are in place now for low-income applicants who are trying to get into one of these schools?
A lot of low-income applicants don't know about the schools. In some communities, there is a high awareness, and children start taking test prep even in third or fourth grade. In other communities, people just don't know about it, and if they do test prep, it's not till the fall of eighth grade. Some Black and Latino kids tend to be concentrated in more low-performing schools so that they're not getting the same quality education as kids in other neighborhoods.
So you're saying in third grade, some people know about this test?
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, even in my situation, I don't think I found out about it until the eighth grade, and I remember cramming a week or two ahead of time. And so that people know about it is a little disturbing earlier. But maybe my community where I grew up, that just wasn't the case. I want to welcome Jenny from Manhattan. Jenny, what's your view about this situation?
Yes, my view is that the Board of Education is trying to find a shortcut to increase diversity in these schools. The real issue is to improve the quality of education in the middle schools so that the people who are graduating from these middle schools will do well on those exams. But you see, that would cost a lot of money, and it's much cheaper to just change the requirements instead of improving the middle schools so that minority groups have a better shot at getting in.
Thank you so much, Jenny. So, Medina, how do you respond to Jenny? Do you think she's gotten it right, that it's about the middle schools, the quality of those schools?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's you know, it's also important to note that there are these sort of feeder middle schools, schools that kind of guarantee admission into these specialized high schools. I mean, it's like half of specialized high school admissions offers go to just 21 middle schools. And these are schools that have like entrance exams or where students were part of some accelerated program in elementary school. So for context, there's like more than 600 middle schools. So there is kind of a question of like what can be done. Some people have spoken about expanding gifted and talented programs. Some people say, well, those programs are segregated too. Like 22% of students are Black and Latino.
So over 600 of these schools, but only about 21 are actually feeders into these specialized high schools. I mean, those numbers themselves are pretty astounding. So Clara, obviously, you cover this issue. Can something be done at the elementary school level?
Something can be done at every level. We can start with pre-kindergarten and have more racially and economically integrated pre-kindergartens, and I think we can do it all the way up. I don't think it's too late in eighth grade either. And one of the things which the city has done, which is, I think, a good idea, is to dramatically expand what's called the Discovery Program.
You've written extensively about the Discovery Program.
Yeah, I mean, it's a for kids who just missed the cutoff at the on the exam, they're given the opportunity to go to summer school and take another exam at the end of the summer. And this has historically been a way for low-income kids who are really bright but might not have had the same preparation as others to get into the school.
But what about the racial element? Do you think that you're going to get more Black and Latino students at that 1 or 2 point difference, or is it much deeper than that?
The Discovery Program historically has been two-thirds Asian.
So even the discovery program, discovering new students, even that program has been skewed.
So the discovery program has been, you get priority if you have lived in the country for less than 4 years, which favors new immigrants, and you get priority if you are low income yourself. The way they're changing it, which I think is a good idea, is you will get priority if you attend a high poverty school, not necessarily that you're high poverty yourself. Because if you're a low-income kid who's going to a school with a lot of high-income kids, you're probably getting a pretty good education. So this will have the effect of shifting the racial makeup of the kids in the special summer school program to make it more Black and Latino.
I want to welcome Desmond from Crown Heights. Desmond, you've been listening to this conversation. How is it impacting your life? Desmond? I think we may have lost Desmond.
Way to Brooklyn Tech in 1967. I have three adult children. Two of them went to recognized specialized high schools, which was the School of Performing Arts by in Manhattan, and the LaGuardia High School. The third one went to Midwood High School in the specialized program. I've always pointed out the fact that children are tracked as far as their parents who know about the process. When I went to Brooklyn Tech, I did not have any idea about a specialized high school. I was enticed by my classmates who did and said, well, why don't you come and try it? There is not enough emphasis for in certain communities to augment the preparation for that. And the other thing that happens is that there needs to be preparation from pre-K. As a twig is bent, so grows the tree. In the communities that have extraordinary resources, then you find children achieving at a higher level. And the fact that you've highlighted the fact that certain schools are tracked. When my son went to LaGuardia, he did extraordinarily well on the objective test.
But not on the quantitative?
Yes. Okay, but when it was as far as writing skills and that was objective, he was discarded. We knew someone who could have his test reexamined. Upon reexamination, he attended and completed school at LaGuardia. The next year, two students from his primary school passed the test straight out, which is to say they did not expect to have a good result from that school.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Desmond. You bring a really important point about the early tracking of these kids, and obviously you've raised kids who have succeeded despite quite a few odds. Medina, when you hear stories like this, obviously we have fathers like Desmond who are pushing, but some kids are not so fortunate. For them, do you think that some of these programs can make a change? So, for example, there are not enough girls in these schools. Where are the girls in these specialized high schools? Do we have, in your reporting, what have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a question of ensuring that the more is done earlier. And I think one thing that's interesting I've been seeing is I think State Senator Jamal Bailey, he has this sort of package of bills to improve admissions. And I think one of the things that's part of that is having sort of a pre-Shazat test. So like basically helping parents and students identify early on like what their strengths and weaknesses are. So that's been kind of one. And also like, requiring another bill that he has is sort of like requiring all specialized high schools to like have discovery programs and setting up a diversity commission to look at admissions policies and what schools are doing to improve diversity.
So, Clara, I know that this is an issue that you've looked at as well. You know, there's some research out from the education site, the 74, that shows the city's proposed changes would actually help girls in particular. Right now, only 45% of offers for specialized high schools go to girls. But under the mayor's proposed plan, that would jump to 62%. So why don't girls get into these specialized high schools? What's keeping them back?
I think the underrepresentation of girls in the specialized high school is one more example of why there's something wrong with the test, because girls have the same preparation as boys by and large, and they get better grades than boys, and they do better in college than boys. So the fact that they're not doing well on this one test when they're getting good grades and they're doing well on other standardized tests does suggest that there's something wrong with the test.
We have a tweet from Anthony who says, improve all schools does nothing for current 6th, 7th, 8th graders who will not gain access to these specialized schools. The root of the problem is residential segregation and the feeder schools that connect it to those communities. Is residential segregation at play here?
Of course residential segregation is at play here, but we can't solve every problem right away. Let's tackle the ones that we can right away. One of them, for example, is even in the highly segregated, low-performing middle schools, there's a couple of hundred Black and Latino kids who are doing very well, and those kids are not applying to the high schools. So to the specialized high schools. Why don't we recruit the kids who are doing very well at these schools and encourage them to take the exam, which they're not doing at this point?
If you're listening, you are listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Duarte Geraldino sitting in for Brian. We want you to join this conversation. You can call us at 212-433-9692. I want to take a call, Barbara, from the Upper West Side. And you have a view, and you look at the situation through the lens of race. Barbara, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just have a quick comment. So I have kids. I'm in public school, and I'm white. And I just know that the parents who can afford it, typically are white, are able to get homework help, able to get tutoring, able to get test prep, able to get all this stuff. And I kind of equate it to, you know, the Olympics, where you have a kid who wants to run professionally in the Olympics, okay? And from the time he's born, she or he, they get trained, and the best trained. It takes so much to just have a natural athlete that can get through everything and become an Olympian. At some point, there's somebody who is training them in the schools, and I watch this all day long. After school, there are kids who just hang out or go to an after-school program that is very mediocre at best. It's like a holding place. And I'm sorry, but that's just the fact. But the other kids who have money are able to go to tutors and all these things and get polished. This goes on from third grade on. So it's not a surprise.
So you're focusing on, it's not just talent, but the training and the distinctions that draws. Thank you so much, Barbara, for bringing that up. I want to welcome Gladys from the Bronx, who is a New Yorker, a Latina, and your child actually got into one of these schools, Gladys, but decided not to attend one?
Yes. Good morning. Yes, my name is Gladys Sepin. My child passed the test. He was lucky enough to go to a private gifted school at sixth grade. And I tell you that they prepare the kids so well, and I think that's the reason why those kids who come from better, you know, from rich people, they be able to go to those specialized high school because they have many programs that they help the kids. And then my son David passed the test, and we decided to go to Philip Exeter Academy, New Hampshire boarding school, which is a great school as well. But I believe as a parent that we need more help for children starting early to getting them prepared to go to those specialized high school. That's what I think.
Thank you so much, Gladys. So she raises two really important points, ladies. So her child got into one of these schools, but then got taken in by the elite private schools. I mean, Phillips Exeter, obviously one of the best schools in the world right now. Is that what's happening? Do we see that trend? So the Black and Latino students who would have gone to the specialized high schools are now getting spots in these private elite schools around the city and around the country?
Well, I should actually note that I did go to New York City Public Schools, but my brother actually did the Prep for Prep program, the academic enrichment program, and he went to Dalton. I mean, I didn't take the specialized high school admissions test, but my brothers did, and I remember them telling me that it was a hard exam and stuff. And I think you know, programs like Prep for PEP were sort of like a vehicle for minority students to get into, to access these private schools and everything. And so I think you are seeing some of that as well. And you know, these programs like Prep for PEP are very intensive. They're very competitive. And
so, but is the question, so Clara, is it that the pool of students that would make some of these specialized high schools more diverse now choosing not to go, like Gladys' son from the Bronx, where he could have gone to one of these schools, but instead he chooses to go to Phillips Exeter? And then we have this sort of racial segregation going on.
It's true that black students are more likely to turn down an offer at the specialized high schools than the Asian students are. It's also true that black and Latino students are recruited by the private schools in a way that perhaps the working class Asian kids are not.
So that's something to stress, because there's so much controversy over this test, and Asian Americans in particular are angry because they feel like they're being targeted. But what you're saying is that a lot of black and Latino kids who actually get offers to these schools are actually turning them down to go to private schools.
That's correct. Or to public schools where they feel that they might be more welcome, they might have a critical mass of other kids who are like them.
A lot of people don't talk about that. Why do you think that fact is not getting more publicity? What's happening?
I'm afraid the debate has pitched black and Latino kids against Asian kids and black and Latino parents against Asian parents. And I think we all have to work together to expand opportunities for everyone. And I think it's very unfortunate that we've pit one group against another.
I want to welcome DJ from Manhattan. And DJ, you have a child that actually goes to one of these specialized high schools, right?
I do. I have a daughter that goes to Stuyvesant. I myself went to Bronx Science when it was a lot more diverse. And I think the difference is that the elementary and middle schools in certain neighborhoods, it's not that they don't have the resources, but they're not academically focused. And
the school or the student?
The schools. Mm-hmm. They're more concerned with babysitting than actually teaching these kids. And if we want to improve diversity, we have to work on improving our elementary and middle schools and look at the schools that are doing well and copy some of what they do. And if it's a matter of look at Success Academy and how well they've done in educating people, the same populations. If they can do it, why can't the Board of Ed?
You make a very interesting point. I want to make sure that we can get another caller. Shauna from Florida is calling, a black alum from Brooklyn Tech. Shauna?
I think that it's not an issue of testing. It's an issue of opportunity and access for underserved students in particular. Teachers are not recognizing students who have potential, and they're not being prepared. The teachers are at the front line. They should be the ones to recognize when students might have potential to go to some of these specialized high schools. Families also need to be educated about the opportunities. The outreach just isn't there, and people are not finding out about the opportunities until it's too late for students to be prepared for them. And there's this issue of lost Einsteins, and that's really, really critical to me because, this goes back to this idea of students being overlooked. We're losing people who have the potential to do great things because we're not even recognizing that in the classroom.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking my call.
Carolyn from Manhattan, you've been listening to this conversation. Obviously, it affects the fabric of our city. What's your view? Carolyn?
Hello?
Hello, Carolyn.
Hello?
Yes, Carolyn.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, you know, I used to teach a lot of Asian kids, and their parents really make sure that they're being prepped for these tests well in advance of before the admissions to these schools. In addition, a friend of mine was teaching at Stuyvesant Summer School one year, And all the kids in that class who were doing a prep just to get into high school, they were middle school kids, and it was in English and writing. They were all mostly Asian kids because it is a cultural thing. The Asian parents, I mean, there is the, you know, the stereotype of the tiger mom, and it's real. And so the fact that it's based on just one test does seem kind of unfair and unjust, and it's real. I think it's a good idea that they're going to try to expand the requirements for kids to get into these specialized high schools.
Thank you very much.
It makes sense.
Thank you very much. So our segment's about to wind down. So Medina, closing thoughts. What should we be focusing on?
Well, one thing I'm thinking about is the results of the state primary. You know, there are going to be a couple new faces in the state assembly and the state senate, and I'm curious about what that will mean for the mayor's specialized high schools plan. Does the plan have a greater chance of getting passed? Does it not? I mean, I think at least two people, like Jessica Ramos and Zelnor Myrie, they were endorsed by the mayor. So I wonder what will happen. The former city controller, John Liu, beat Tony Avella. Both Tony Avella and John Liu said that they're against the mayor's plan, but John Liu in the past has expressed openness to admissions reform in the sense of keeping the test and adding additional criteria. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what impact that will have on the plan's chances in Albany when it gets taken up again next year.
Thank you. Clara, final thoughts?
I think one way to avoid pitting Black and Latino parents against Asian parents in this debate is to expand the number of seats at some of the specialized high schools. Brooklyn Tech, Bronx Science, and Stuyvesant are already gigantic. I wouldn't recommend expanding them, but the Queens High School for the Sciences, for example, only has 500 kids. You could expand those seats in tandem with expanding the summer school program for more Black and Latino kids.
Thank you very much.
It doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. We can add more seats and not just ration the seats we have.
More seats. Thank you very much, ladies, for joining us. And we've been speaking with Medina Touré. She is an education and politics reporter for Political New York. And Clara Hemphill. She is founder and editor at theinsideschools.org. And this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Duarte Geraldino, filling in for Brian.